All right, give the Lord a cheer. All right. I know today we have a beautiful day out here at the ranch, about 65 degrees and sunny. And I'm guessing some of you folks up in the Northeast might be a little envious of that. Well, I was reading over in John, and I wanted to highlight a few. One of these nice stories here. I'm going to turn to John chapter 5 and start reading at verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. I'm going to pause there at verse 3 for a second. I find it interesting in a sense that, this sort of reminds me of how, people today, they look for a lot of different ways to get healed and to get free of things. They look at worldly things, and there's a whole laundry list of this stuff. And really, what they should be looking for is Jesus, because he's their healer. Well, let's read on. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? Jesus knew this man's condition. Just as he knows your condition, your pain, your situation. And he asked this guy one thing. Wilt thou be made whole? And the impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man. When the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. See, this guy needs some help, just like we all do. And Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cursed, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then they asked him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. And the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. Now, over there in verse 14 and a couple other places in the Bible, we see that, somebody can lose what has been given to him by Jesus. In this case, it's healing. And something greater could come upon him. Something much, much worse than what he originally had. I think it was last week or the week before I had preached about lukewarm Christians. Now, in many ways, that's what a lukewarm Christian is. Somebody that's received something and just kind of forgot about it and left. And if that happens, I mean, they would become a breeding ground of, you know, disease and torment and all these other bad things. And that's not where we want to be. Now, Jesus told his church to go forth and preach the gospel to the lost so that they could be found, the sick so that they could be well, the withered so that they could be revived, the depressed so that they could be joyful, the oppressed so that they could be set free. Wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole? Take up your cross and follow Jesus. Amen.
Give the Lord a cheer. Some of you do it twice. Some of you need to do it twice, so it sounds like there's more than three people here.
Is that better?
Yeah, praise God. Having trouble getting on the internet as usual. I don't know what it is with that. I think Scott Stevens must have been here playing with it at some point or another. Those of y'all who listen to Paul getting up and I was giving Scott a hard time about it. Of course, it seems like anybody with the name of Scott has that problem. Have you ever noticed we're a bunch of whiners? You ever notice that? Christians are a bunch of whiners. They go along and, you know, everything not going just right, they want to whine about it. They want to complain about it. And, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I never want to go near a mirror when I'm doing that. Because I might find out who's at fault. But I do like to go around and look at other people and see who can I blame this on. You know, I remember Carrie used to say to me all the time, she said, "Davey, life sucks." And one day I said to her, "No, Earth just lost its gravity." She couldn't figure that one out, but she figured it out over a period of years. Some of you might say, "Well, you going to tell us what it means?" No, I ain't going to tell you what it means. Figure it out for yourselves. But we go through tough times. And I was going through a real tough time years and years and years ago. I was young in the Lord, and young minister, didn't know half of what I was doing, right or wrong. And I was really having it rough, and I was sitting there complaining and griping. The Lord come to me in the spirit and said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Well, I'm just sitting here, Lord, and I'm trying to pray." He said, "No, you're complaining. What's the matter?" And I said, "Well, things are rough." He said, well, how are you doing? I said, well, I'm okay under the circumstances. He said, what are you doing under there? Know you not that I've overcome the world? And I said, well, what's that got to do with anything? No answer. Sometimes I feel like he just shakes his head at me, just, can't fix stupid. Anyway, over in John 16, verse 33 is where he says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Now I want to show you something here if I can. There are two places mentioned here. Two places. One is the world. Now, when you look around you, what are you seeing? You're seeing the world. Even when you look at one another, you're seeing the world. My wife loves me. Amen. She's kind of slow to say that, but you know. She loves me. I love her. But it would not surprise me a bit if she would admit that sometimes I cause her tribulation. She's smiling on that one now. She wasn't smiling before, she's smiling now. And if I'm honest, I'm going to admit that there are times she causes me tribulation. See? But of course, she's never justified in that. I always am. See? Cheryl causes me tribulation sometimes, and I know she'd say I cause her tribulation. But again, she's not justified in that. Am I getting through to you people here? Now, Bob, I always cause him tribulation. And I'm always justified. Isn't that the way we are, though? We're always justified in what we think, what we feel, what we want, but the other person isn't. They're never right. If the temperature is wrong for me, then the temperature's wrong. I'm right, they're wrong. You like it warm? I like it cold. You like it warm? You're stupid. I like it cold. I'm right. And it goes the other way around. I like this food. You don't. Well, what's the matter with you? That's the way we are in the world. In the world, we will have tribulation because the world is cursed. The earth is cursed and all that is in it. That's one place. Now, what's the other place mentioned? In Jesus. In me, you will have peace. See? Where do you want to live? In tribulation or in peace? I don't know about you, but I know about me. I want to live in peace. And we're not talking that little, you know, I don't even know how to express it. Most people, they think of peace, they think of sitting around in a lounge chair with butterflies circling around them and floating about 3 feet off the ground and just white puffy clouds all around going, Yeah, kind of creepy. The peace here is a cessation of war. It's not fighting. You know, in the world, Bob and I will fight over everything. I mean, I can say it's sun is shining, but there's a cloud over there. It won't be shining long. That's right. Amen. You're sitting in there grinning. Things I can't see. Tristan, you know, He just looks angry half the time because he's not at peace. He's looking at the world. Amen? He's not the only one. So the bottom line is, we're looking at the wrong thing. You want to have peace when you look at your brother and sister, look in Jesus. Because if you are in Jesus and they are in Jesus, where's the fighting? Where's the arguing? There is none. There is none. You know, the best way to tell whether people are in the Lord or not is how they get along with one another. Doesn't the scripture talk about loving one another? And if you love one another, you only want to do those things that are good for them. You don't want to fight with them. You don't want to cause them problems. Right? Even if they're eat up with stupid at the time. Because remember, you will be also. There are times I can get eat up with a dumb bug. And I need grace. Are you going to give it to me? If you be in Christ, you will. Amen? And when you're in stupid or dummies, I'll give you grace. That's brotherly love. That's agape love. Carrie was talking in Vermont about times when she went off the mark a little bit. A lot. And how certain people stuck with her. Well, her mother stuck with her. I stuck with her. Warren stuck with her. Robin stuck with her. Why? Because we were in the Lord. We weren't looking at what Carrie was. We were looking at the Lord and what he can do. And we were looking at what we want God to do for us. When I get stupid, I want God's grace on me. Amen? How can I have God's grace on me if I don't extend it to others? You know, Jesus talked one time about sowing. Lay not treasures up on the earth where the moth and the rust and all get it. But look, put your treasure in heaven. What is your treasure? I mean, yeah, we can look at cars and guitars and toys and buildings and stuff. That's a type of treasure. But especially people live up north, they know how fast a car can rust out. I'll tell you what my treasure is. My treasure is love, joy, peace, grace. These are my treasures. These are the things that I covet the most. I covet peace. Amen? How do I receive that? By storing it in heaven. How do you store it in heaven? By giving it to others. Every time you extend grace to someone, grace is being put into your account. And here's the beautiful thing about it. God don't work like a bank. You go down to the bank and put your money in it, you're lucky. You're fortunate to get 3% interest on it. Maybe they give a little bit more now, I don't know, but I don't think so. It's less. Less than 1%. Isn't that something? But God, when you put grace in your account in heaven, He multiplies 10, 40, 60, 100 fold. I like that kind of interest. I like that. Now, what does that mean? That means if I give grace, every time I give grace and extend grace to someone, God is putting that in my account multiple times higher than what I gave out. And when I then have a problem, when I stumble, when I fall, if I get bit by the stupid bug, what happens? I can draw on that account. That grace is there for me. Amen? But if I haven't given that grace, or if I've given such a little bit of grace, then what happens when I fall? Or what happens when I get stupid? There's no grace. I've known a lot of people over the years, and I've been preaching for many years, I've known a lot of people that never learned the truth of sowing that grace in heaven and sowing love and sowing peace. And when they needed it, it wasn't there for them. And they fell away. And that's sad. It is really sad. Now, over in Romans, I can find it. Let me put the mic down. Chapter 5, Paul is talking about justified by faith, not by works, and over in chapter 4. And he comes down in chapter 5, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way peace can come. By whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Yeah, you have that peace because you know you have the grace. It's there. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. You know, over in James it talks about, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing the trying of your faith worketh what? Huh? Patience. When you fall into temptation, that's a type of tribulation. That's a type of tribulation also. And when you have to exercise your faith, see, if you don't fall into a tribulation, or temptation rather, you don't have to exercise faith. It's only when you fall into that temptation that you have to exercise faith. And then, by exercising that faith, you gain patience. But let patience have her perfect work. And that perfect work is that you come to that place where you stand in him and you're not moved. Be comforted. Be happy. Be full of joy. For Jesus has overcome the world. And he has given us a way to be in him. We are his body. Let's live like his body. Stop living like the world and start living like you're in his body. Amen? Then the tribulations that you will have come against you because you are of him will not bring you down. You will keep his joy and you will remain full of hope in him. So, praise God. That's all I got to say today.
darkness may last for a night, His joy comes in the morning. I'm trading my sorrows, I'm trading my shame, I'm kneeling down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness, I'm trading my
everybody for coming.